Good morning. Last week we ended off with a discussion about when a person goes to a Din Torah, he loses. Is he entitled to an explanation of why the Bezdin passed in the way that they did? So as we discussed, there are two separate sugyas. There's one discussion of Gemara says that as long as any time you are dan b'kfiyah, any time a person comes to Bezdin because he was summoned, there was a hazmana sent, he did not come voluntarily. He has the right to demand a written summary of transcripts, if you will, what the tainus were and what the psak was. And the purpose of this is this way he can go to another bezdin, he can show it to a bezdin hagadol, and if there's a mistake, he can appeal the psak, he can have it overturned. Now this concept, we said today, does not apply, because today we do not have a bezdin hagadol. Even if you had the transcripts, there's not much you can do with it. And therefore, the practice is that in the shtar brurin, in the arbitration agreement, you waive the right to getting a record, and you waive your right of appeal. This waiver is also needed for legal purposes because the arbitration award is generally not enforceable if it could be appealed to another body. Now, the second concept is a concept of explaining the reasons, and this is mavur in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. That when the psak is a psak, which is sounds on the surface, seems to be a strange psak. It's something which would be ma'irah questions. So there, the bezin has an obligation to explain the psak so that the person, that the baldin, should not be choshish the bezin. The Nebuki Yosef limits this halacha. This is only when it's an unusual psak. However, if the parties come in, simply because you lost the case, doesn't mean that there's room for cheshash. It has to be where it's a strange psak. The Gemara in Bava Metzia talks about a case where a person came twice with a very similar case and got different psak halacha. So because that was ma'ir questions, at that point you have an obligation to explain yourself to explain to the Baal Din why it is that he lost. But in a typical case, this would not apply. Now in practice, most Batei Din do not give out reasons. The hanhaga of actually of our bezdin is what we generally do is we tell the parties that the psak is a psak, and regardless, even you certainly do not have the right to delay implementing the psak and obeying the psak simply because you don't understand the reasons. However, once you fulfill the psak, if you'd like to then come back 6 months later to the bezdin, we'll sit you down and we'll explain to you the reasons. Generally, when the person loses a case, he is emotionally, he's convinced that he's right. It's very difficult to argue with a person and to reason with a person. But if you wait a few weeks, a few months until he calms down, it's less emotional. At that point, it is much easier to have a productive conversation with him and to explain to him what the psak din was based on. Now, like the next sugya that I'd like to go through is a discussion of some of the qualifications or disqualifications of a dayan. At what point is there a conflict of interest or certain relationships that possibly a person from being on a bezdin? So I'd like to actually begin this discussion with a chiddush, one particular kind of dayan that is not disqualified. I'm going to read this to you inside because otherwise I don't think anyone's going to believe me. The mechaber in Simon Zayin Sivei says like this: Yesh Aimrim, Dishisu Yayin Mutarim Lodoin Dine Mamus. Someone who is drunk is allowed to paskin Dine Mamus. So Mechaber brings down as a Yesh Aimrim, but he doesn't bring down anyone that argues on this opinion. A drunk judge, Lahalacha, seems to be fine. This perhaps would explain a lot of what goes on in Dine Torah. Okay, we edit this recording afterwards. Thank you. What is the makar of this? So the source is a Tosis in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Beis. The Gemara says that by Dine Nefashos, when Bezdin is dealing with a capital punishment, so they discuss the case, and if they're going to be mechayev of the person, they cannot paskin the same day. They have to chew it over. They have to wait until the next day. During this time period, the Gemara in the Mishnah says, they are not allowed, the dayanim are not allowed to drink any wine. And the Gemara on Daf Mem Beis has a drasha, l'roiznim e'shechar, that someone, roiznim, people who are iskim b'rozei shel olam, people who are dealing with matters of such importance, they're dealing with dinei nefashos, they are not allowed to drink wine. Zog Tosfos, we have a diyuk. The pasuk says uroiznim. People are being oisik in razei shel olam. People are being oisik in dinei nefashos can't drink. Zok teisvus. Hainu dinei nefashos. Avoloi dinei mamres. This halacha does not apply if you're dealing with a dentira that involves simply involves money. This halacha does not apply, and you'd be allowed to drink. Fractasis v'hada amar shas revius yayin al yaira. There's halacha that every rav knows that if you drink a revius of yayin, you're not allowed to paskin a halacha. There are stories rabbanim used to wait on the little seder. They would wait on they wouldn't start their seder right away because they expected people to come with shilas. And they didn't want to drink wine, because once you drink even a revius yayin, you're ready, you're possible to, you can't paskin anymore. Zog Taisvis, Hainu Hayra de Isir Veheter. The halacha they're not allowed to drink, that you're not allowed to paskin when you've drunk a revius, applies to Isir Veheter. You're asking a halacha shayla, there the halacha is, a revius, you're already possible to paskin. However, when it comes to Dini Mamanis, if you're dealing with the Din Torah, there is no such halacha. And that's why the Mechaber paskins that a shisa yayin is allowed to sit on a din Torah. Now, the achroinim are all matmiya. What in the world is pshat in this? Does it make sense that you can come into a bezdin, you can have three drunkards, they will give you a psak, and that's the halacha? How could that be? So there are a number of explanations given by the achroinim. Some achroinim say that the talk is a difference. When it comes to Isser v'heter is irreversible. You pass and it's mutter to eat this piece of meat, they're going to eat the meat. And at that point, once it's done, it's done. When it comes to the Mamanis, if you pass and someone is chayav, potter, whatever, if you get it wrong, when you wake up the next day, you sober up a bit, if you realize there's a mistake, you can reverse it. You can undo the damage. And that's why this halacha of not drinking applies only to Isser v'heter or dinei nefashos, which are irreversible. Dinei mamonis would be different. Other rachmanim say that no. The pshat is, and dinei mamonis halacha is, there are many psulim, we will go through a number of them today. There are many, a relative, a goy, there are many people who are not fit to pass in dinei mamonis. However, the balei dinim voluntarily accept them. It's kiblu alayhu. So whatever they accept, they have the right to do it. It may not be wise, but kiblu works. You can waive your rights in dinei mamonis. So some achronim say that this halacha of a shisa yayin means the parties accepted the drunkard. In other words, when they had their din Torah, they came to the dayan. They saw he was sitting there with a bottle of vodka. He was slurring. His speech was a bit slurred. And afal pi kein, they mukabel kinyan. They had the din Torah in front of him. So in such a case, it's kibbul alayu, they've accepted it, he's allowed to paskin. Mashen king, when it comes to Isser v'heter, or dinei nefashos, so there's no concept of kibbul alayu, and therefore there's an Isser as long as if they drank any wine. The Urim Tumim has an interesting pshat. He says no. He says the pshat over here is that the reason why dinei mamonis is okay is he says, there by Isser v'heter, what happens if you have a shiloh on your chicken? You go to a rav, and you get a psak. It's kosher, it's treif, and whatever it is, that's what you do. Dinei mamonis, he says, you always have a bezdin of gimel. Zog de urim v'tumim, even if one dayan is a little tipsy, so he has two dayanim, two colleagues on the bench, and if they see that his svara is not glat, they see that he's off, he's not passing the right way, so then they'll either remind him, or if they see that he's totally unreasonable, they can't get through to him in his drunken stupor, they'll push off the din. They'll say, you know, we're not ready to paskin until tomorrow. Therefore, Zakta Urim Matumim, this exception by Dinei Mamonis is only when there are three dayanim. He says it's not shkiach for all of them to be drunk. So he says, since there are more than one, we can be stoimach on the sober ones to make sure the halacha comes out right, or to push off the din if they see that's what's appropriate. Mashen king, when Isser v'heter, there, this won't apply. Now, this doesn't help for Dinei Nefashos. Dinei Nefashos, there were 23. But at least for the difference between Mamonis and Isser v'heter, it helps. Then, according to this reason, it would be a problem. The Urim Tumim says we're not choshish for that. It's not, that's Rei Dabar, something which is Loish Kiyach. Now, although, as I mentioned before, the Mechab brings this down as the Yeshayimrim, the Goyin points out that there's a medrash that seems to be mefurish, not like that. There's a yoinim that says not like that. And roiv achroinim l'maisa ar machriya, that not like this halacha, that al kol parom, a person should be machmer. If you're drunk, you should not be paskling shaylos. They say the Gemara in Sanhedrin is telling you a chiddush, that between the time, once they start dealing with Dina Nefashis until the next day, the dying is not allowed to drink at all. Doesn't mean becoming drunk. And certainly at the time of the Pesach Din, at that point the next day, they'll be completely sober. But during this whole period where it's on their mind, where they have to come to a Hachra, they're not allowed to drink at all. That Chumra applies by Dina Nefashis. Masha Enkein, if you have Dina Mamadis, you go to a Din Torah, and the Bezin has to schedule another session for a week from now. On Shabbos, they're allowed to make Kiddush. So this Chumra in the Gemara, that you can't drink at all from the beginning to the end, that is what's limited to Dina Nefashis. But Dina Mamadis, according to the Goyin, according to the Mishkas Yaakov, Rabbeinu Yaino, the halacha is that even a drunkard or someone who has drunk wine would be pasul. Okay, this is a milsad leshkiach. I've heard many accusations about batei din and against dayanim. Being drunk is not one that I've heard yet. Again, you never know. If it happens, we'll have a shaila of kimli, and in chanama you'll have a nice din Torah on your hands. In Shulchan Aruch, the mechaber just brings down the shita that will be mutter. But then again, you have to look at the reasons. If the reason is kiblu alayu, that only works if when you come to the bez and they're visibly drunk. If when you come in, they're sober, and then later on they start drinking, if the whole point is it's kiblu, you waived your rights, then they would be possible in that case. So if it happens, you'll have to deal with which of the reasons apply and which is the ikar l'halacha. Now, moving on to some other cases where dayanim are possible, we all know a karoiv is possible for edus. A relative is also possible to be a dayan. The dayan cannot be related to either the bali dinim or among themselves. You cannot have two relatives sitting on the same bezdin. Now, the psul of kroivim, it applies to brothers, it applies to that's a rishon of rishon. A rishon b'sheni would be an uncle or nephew are possible to each other. Cousins, sheni b'sheni, are possible as well. Grandparents are also same status. Shlishon b'rishon, if you're dealing with a great uncle, that already is a machlekes, and the Ramah says the ikar l'halacha is that it would be aser. However, once you go further than that, once you're dealing with a second cousin, or even a first cousin once removed, that already is far enough, you will not have the psul of kurba. Now, if they're close, if they're good friends, that will perhaps run to the issue of ayah v'sayinah, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But if they don't know each other, the issue is simply the blood relationship. So once you're dealing with a second cousin or first cousin once removed, that would be mutter to be done. Yes. Yes, I mean, it's not the same halacha, but where there is halacha, the two sinim are not allowed to sit on a din Torah together. Now, this is true also, b'derech klal, whenever you're dealing with a psul, if it's through marriage, the psul would apply as well. For example, on our bezdin, my wife's cousin is one of the dayanim on the bezdin, so we never sit on din Torah together. Because it is a sheni b'sheni, we're cousins through marriage, that is enough of a psul, and we cannot be on a din Torah together. We actually had one case. It was a bit of a high-profile case. There were a lot of parties involved. And all the other dayanim had some sort of psul. They knew one of the parties. There was some sort of conflict of interest. And the only three dayanim we were able to get together was myself, my wife's cousin, and the third dayan. So we explained it to the parties in the situation. We said, if you'd like us to deal with the case, you'll have to be makabel kinyan, that even though we are apostle to be dayanim, you'll have to be makabel kinyan, that you'll accept us as dayanim, which they chose to do. Now, sure enough, the entire went on. Obviously, one party won, one party lost. So the party that lost got a tayin involved to see what he could do. Is there a way to overturn the psak? So Tayan looks at the psak din. He says, wait, I know these dayanim. They're cousins. So he calls up the bezdin and made him achah. The dayanim, how could a bezdin that doesn't even know that dayanim that are kroivim have him? So we showed them on the shtar brurah and the fact that there was a kabbalah's kinyan and there was a waiver. But the problem with all these things is that's a teretz. You have to explain that there's a teretz to the kasha. But eventually they backed down when they saw in writing that there was a kabbalah's kinyan. So this is the psul of kroivim. The next psul, which we briefly touched upon last week, is the psul of oyev or asayne. A dayan cannot paskin if one of the bali dinim is a mortal enemy or a close friend. Now, this is obviously a svara. You cannot be, the dayan has to be unbiased, he has to be impartial, and if someone is a close friend or an enemy, he certainly won't be able to give an impartial psak. Now, mi'ikar hadin, I mean, there is machlokes and how to interpret the shittas Rambam, but mi'ikar hadin, there are two levels. There is an ayiv or a sayne who is a close friend or a mortal enemy. An enemy is defined by someone who you've not spoken to in 3 days out of anger. You simply refuse to speak to him. An ayiv is someone who is a very close friend. He's part of the shishbino. He's part of the wedding party. He just got married, and he was part of the affair, and it's within either the first day or within Sheva Brachos. So a very close friend is, according to most poskim, possible maker hadin. Even if he paskins, the halacha is the psak is not a psak. The more common case is you're not dealing with someone who is a mortal enemy or mamish a close friend. You have some form of relationship with a fellow. You're friendly with him. He lives in the neighborhood, daven's in the same shul. So you consider him a friend, but not a close friend. So over here, the halacha is that lichadchila, as a midas chasidus, a dayan should not take a case if he has any relationship with either party, whether for good or for bad. Because you can only get a really fair case if you have no relationship with either of them. They're each coming in with a blank slate. That way you can hear the arguments, you can issue an unbiased psak. If you're an ayiv or a sayna, if there's any relationship whatsoever, then the halacha is a person is supposed to be masalik himself. Now this is a midas chasidus. It cannot, if the dayan does not do so, you cannot overturn the psak. Furthermore, if a bal din says, I don't want to come, or I don't want to listen to you because I'm saying you're a friend, or you're an ayiv, or either you're a friend of the other person, or the bal din alleges that the dayan is his sayna, halacha is he does not have the right to object. Now, this is really a theoretical halacha. Since today, anyway, you can never force anyone to come to a specific bez din. The parties have to agree on the bez din. So if bal din feels some person's an ayiv or a sayna, he'll just refuse. In a bayrus, as we mentioned last week, in a bayrus, an ayiv is kosher to be a bayr. Since either way, a bayrus has some level of negius, if the fact that there is this bias as well is not a psul in a boyerus. No, very good. So what happens if you're friends with both parties, or in the opposite case, you dislike both parties equally? So over here, the Birkei Yosef says nothing doing. He said you're still possible. Why? The bias will equal out. He says no. Because if you're friends with both parties, what's going to be? You're going to have it. Your negis is going to tell you to split the baby. You're not going to want to have one person win all and one person lose it all, because it hurts you to do that to your friend. So what you're going to do is your negis, your bias, will push you to accept one of his arguments, the other person's other argument, and somehow work out some sort of pshara, some sort of middle ground. And the same thing is true by a sayna. If you dislike both of them equally, you don't want any of them to walk away with the satisfaction of complete victory. So you figure out a way where both of them walk out unhappy, which is easier, which is much easier than it sounds. So by a boyerus, you find such a halacha that since either way by a boyerus you have one dayan, each dayan is being mahapach for his side, there is a heter. But if it's not a boyerus, if it's a regular bezdin, then we don't say this. In a regular bezdin, you have to have equal. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan happens to argue, the Aruch HaShulchan says, this level of an oyev, where it's just a bit of a friend, he says, is immediate chasidus, if you're an oyev or sign it to both of them equally, the Aruch HaShulchan is matter of such a case. But the Birkei Yosef, brought down in Pesachei Tshuva, argues and says that it would be aser, at least l'chadchila.
Mm-hmm. The dayanim, I think, will be affected and have a certain opinion when we come to a certain degree of silence of this person.
Oh, very good, very good. So the Chavis Yor asks this kasha. You can ask it even further. The halacha is when two bali dinim come in front of you, You're supposed to, in Pirkei Yitzei, you're supposed to treat both, look at both of them like Rishon. And then when they leave, they're supposed to be tzaddikim and they're mekabel the din. So let's passel every bezdin. Because when the Bali Dinim come, you consider them Rishon. So the halacha is, a Rasha, you're supposed to have a sin or two. So everyone's passel. So Zog the Chavis Yor, no. This is talking about when there's a personal animosity between the parties. You don't like him because of what he did to you. Masha Ein Kein, if you simply know that he's a Rasha, and therefore you have a sinner to him because of the fact, because in Halacha he did something wrong, the Chavis Yor says that would not be a psul. We actually had such a case. We had a Baal Din once. This is actually a record. He came to our Bez Din 9 times, and he lost each and every time. And he lost not simply because he lost because he was, as you said, a no good Nick. It was lying. It wasn't a simple matter. But at some point he developed this taina that the Bezdin is a sina. You know already the last 9 cases I lied through my teeth, and Yitako caught me. So you have a din of a sina. So Zog the Chavis Yor, it depends. If you lie to the Dayan, you're cheating him. He has a case where a Dayan had a sichsuch and there was a shvuah sheker to the Dayan. So it's true. He did an avl. But since the avl was to you, it's personal, then you have a din of a soina, then you can't deal with the case anymore. But if one person does an avl to someone else, just because the Bezdin is now aware that he's a Rasha, that is not a psil. And it really has to be like that. Otherwise, you know, any ganiv or any Rasha, you can never go to a dentira because once he's exposed, now they know he's a Rasha.
Even if he hurt your car, let's say he ripped off your brother. So you don't have a personal thing, you have to know
that. I would say, okay, if he ripped off a karov, that is that sinna or that feeling that you have towards him the same as if he ripped off a total stranger? If the halach is your feelings towards him or your feelings towards any Rasha, then you have the Chavis Yor, and then you're not possible. On the other hand, if it's your son or your karev, someone who you personally are upset with him about, that would have a din of a soina, and that would be possible. There's a Chuvas Rashba discusses these cases of a son, and he says the son is the same thing as the parents, whether it's semach shulchan aviv or not, it's close enough, and it would be a psul. Now again, it probably would not be. It would only be a midas chasidus, because if you don't rise to the level where you're not speaking to him for 3 days, you cannot be ma'akim ikar hadin. But it's a midas chasidus, and it's something that certainly should be avoided. Now Shai Mishpat has a fascinating case. What happens if you have a dentera? You go ahead, you manage to maneuver it, you have your friend, the dayan, sit on the case. And the other party is not aware that he is a good friend of yours. You go through the case, and you lose. Your friend did you in, he betrayed you. So what happens? You get the psak din, you send your baal din ahazmano, you want to go to another dentera. Why? The first dentera is possible, because the dayan was your friend. What's the halach? Zok tashar mishpat. It depends how we understand the pshad in the psul of an oyev. If you're dealing with a karoiv, let's say you have a, you go to a dentera, you happen not to tell anyone that the dayan's your father. So a father is possible to be a dayan. It's not a question of we're afraid he's biased, not biased. A karoiv is possible. If the dayan was possible, you have the chance, you have the right to redo it, to call him to another dentera. You knew about it in the beginning, good, but you'll have the right to another dentera. Zog the Shar Mishpat, when it comes to an oyev in Sanya, there's no pasuk saying an oyev is not kasher. It's a svara. There's a bias. We're afraid he's going to pass him like you because he's your friend. Good, so he shouldn't do it. But over here, where even though he's your friend, in spite of his bias, you were so wrong that he was forced to conclude and paskin against you. So we see the bias didn't play a role over here. If you win, we'll never know whether you won because you were right or you won because he was your friend. But if you lose, we see the bias didn't play a role. So the Shai Mishpah goes back and forth. Shai Mishpah concludes that the psak is kayim, and you cannot overturn it. He says, now, l'chadchilo, now then he wants to take it a step further. Let's say you have the one dayan in town, and he's a good friend with one of the parties. So the other party says, you know what, let's go to the entire year. If I win, good. If I lose, so then I'll say he's your friend. And then we'll go to the next city and we'll go to another entire. So that the Shai Mishpah says, that's taking it too far. He says, that's, you know, double jeopardy you can't do. That's an Evis Adin to force me to a Din Torah where I can only lose, I can't win. You know, it's the friend of the Dayan has no upside. Because if he wins, then we have to go to another Dayan. If he loses, he'll have to pay. So the friend can say, you can't force me to such a one-sided Din Torah. But after the fact, if they have a Din Torah and the Oyev loses, or for that matter, the Soine wins, in that case, the Shai Mishpah concludes that you cannot undo the Psak, it is Kayim. The Ar Sameach argues, the Ar Sameach learns that the din of Oyev is a din of like a Karev, Xeris HaKasev, and therefore it would be possible regardless.
Even in the case where the father is the father's diet, isn't it fair to assume that they were Kalakidin, that they went there in the first place?
Okay, that's what I said. In the case was where the person didn't realize it. His name was Klein. So you didn't put two and two together. If they agree, the halacha is Kibul Olayu. One of the cases is your Makabal father. And if you know about it and you're Makabal apostle, you can't change your mind afterwards simply because you lose. So there is a halacha mefureshes. This was a problem that a gavra alma who usher bi'iroi, if someone is a very powerful person and there an argument can be made that you cannot get a fair hearing in this city, the halacha is a baldin has the right to say, let's go elsewhere. Let's go to another city where he's not such a hotshot, he doesn't control the entire city, and he can, even though normally the entire stays locally, in such a case you have the right to force it elsewhere. And there is a discussion, how far does it have to be? Is it every powerful person? Does it have to be a gavra alma? But in such a case, and occasionally you do hear situations where especially it involves a prominent moisid in a city where nobody, where the perception is the Batei Din will not want to start with it, so then they taka will send it to another city where you don't have this potential political pressure involved. And it does, and then it's not that common, but it does happen, and generally it gets dealt with in a different city. Now, an interesting question that comes up, and Ma'arik deals with this by Rikos, is that if you think about it, this concept of Oyev and Soina today is not such an issue, because their communities are fairly large, they're Batei Din in different cities. However, if you lived in a little shtetl, there were 100 families in the entire city, traveling was not very practical. So it's very likely that of the three Dayanim there on the Beis Din, they have some sort of relationship with everyone in the city. They have some shaychus. They're not total strangers. So how do you deal with such a case? There is some level of relationship. So V.M. Marik says you have to be very careful. Because we said, someone who is a real oyev, a close friend, or a real soine, that's a psul maker hadin. But most cases are not Mekar Adin. Most cases, there is some relationship. It's not enough. No one's going to blatantly paskin throw the case because they have shaykhs to the person, they're friendly with the person. But we're afraid there is a certain level in the Giyas, and we want to avoid everything. Zug Ma'arik, if you're dealing with a case where Mekar Adin, you're kosher, and it's just a chumrah, stay away from it because there is some unconscious bias that may play a role. Zog Ma'arik, you have to be careful that Kulo does not bring Lidei Chumra. If by a Dayan saying, I don't want to sit on the case because I epis have some minimal shaykhus to the person, now they're not going to have a way to deal with the matter. Now it's going to have to go to another city and that's not practical and there are other issues that will come up. Vi already, it's a Chumra Lidei Lidei Kulo. You have to be, and in that case, Ma'arik says, Adrabah, the Dayan should take the case even if he has some minimal level of shaykhus. Now today, for legal purposes, when a psak din, if the parties have to go to court to get it enforced, the courts are extremely, extremely strict about this. If there's any, either a conflict of interest or even an appearance of a conflict of interest, that is enough to get the award thrown out. The fact that you have any relationship and you don't disclose it, that itself, the fact that you kept it a secret, the fact that you weren't open about it, that itself is usually enough to create an appearance of a conflict, and therefore the Hanhaga today is but if there's any connection whatsoever between any of the Dayanim and any of the parties, it is generally disclosed. It is very often, and it really it's appropriate to disclose it in writing, to put it in writing on the arbitration agreement that they were informed of these relationships. They were advised to discuss with their counsel. They were advised that you do not have to come to this Bezdin, you can go to another Bezdin, and Afal Pikein, they waived their rights and they came to this Bezdin. If you do that, generally that will be upheld. But if you don't, if there's any sort of relationship that it seems like you kept it a secret, in all likelihood the Psak Din will not be enforceable in court. So now let's move on to the other psul of Dayanim. And that is the psul of Shaychar, a dayan that takes bribes. Now, this is also a psul which, Baruch Hashem, of the many problems that the Batei Din today face, allegations of Shaychar are extremely rare. It is not a common issue. However, we'll see, although Shaychar per se, again, is unheard of, in Halacha there are many things which we may not realize that will come into, will at least bring up Shailos and Halacha of having the status of Shaychar. Let's begin. A simple case of Shaychar, what is Shaychar? A bribe. The simple case is, you have a din Torah, you have a court case, you know you're dead wrong, you find the judge, you get a hold of the judge, you give him a couple, you slip him a few $1,000, and you tell him to throw the case. Today, the more updated version is, you make a very hefty donation to his political campaign. It's usually generally not cash to the person, and because of that, he throws the case to you. That's a simple case of Shaychar that is clearly Yasser. Zakta Gemara, we don't need a pasuk for that. That's not an issue of Shaychar. That's loisata mishpat. If the judge is throwing the case, he's passing wrong, forget about the Shaychar. It's the psak itself is the problem. What do we need the pasuk of Shaychar for? Zakta Gemara, even if the Shaychar is given, you give the money to the judge telling him, I want you to do a good job of the case. I want you, if I'm right, I want you to paskin like me, and if I'm right, I don't want to lose. That itself has a din of Shaychar. Even though you're not paying him specifically to throw the case, the very fact that you're paying him to do a good job judging the case, that creates a bias. And the Iri explains that once you're getting money already, it's hard to see the flaws in the person who's giving you the money in his argument. And therefore, that has a din of shaychad, even though it's specifically being done in order to do the right psak. Now, what happens if both parties give shaychad? If the whole issue is that by giving shaychad, it's Gemara says shuhuchad, there's a bias. So if they both give shaychad, and if they both give the same amount, then it shouldn't be a problem. So over here, we have a similar to this discussion to what we said before. I mean, everyone agrees that it's aser. Some say it's atzaloi plug, because if a dayan takes shaychad from both of them, at some point he'll come to take more from one, or he'll come at some point to take it only from one party. The Meiri says, similar to the argument we said by two other of them, that if you take shaychad from both, there'll be an incentive to make a pshara, to sort of, you know, split the baby and not have either side completely win or completely lose. But either way, regardless, the halacha is Shaychar is going to be aser, even if both parties give it. Now, this leads us to a fascinating shayla, which at some point in history, this was a very relevant shayla. And that is, I'll say it over from the Tshuva of the Chavos Yar. What happens if you have a court case? Now, you're an honest erlicha person. You are completely convinced that you are right. The merits of the case are with you. However, your one concern is that you're afraid your Baal Din bribed the judge already. He bribed the judge. You bribed the judge, you know, you're completely right, you have great arguments, but you're going to lose anyway. So what's the halacha? Can you go ahead and counter-bribe the judge? So this shaila is discussed by Richas in the Chavos Yar. Chavos Yar's brother-in-law, who was a dayan, and he was apparently friendly with Carl Ludwig, who was, it seems, one of the government official in Germany. And one day, Carl calls him in and gives him, reads him the riot act. He says, you Jews, it's bad enough that you're always fighting. You're always having court cases. He says, but now you're corrupting my judges. Because when Jews come to the court system, it's an open secret. They bribe the judge. He says, how can you let this happen? It's shaychad, it's against halacha, it's wrong, and it's your responsibility. You're the dying in town. You have to take care of it. So Chavis Yair's brother-in-law answered back with tremendous chachma. He said, first of all, I agree with you that it's true. I've heard such rumors also. I don't know who's behind it. I've heard such rumors. It is terrible. I can't. It's wrong. It's awesome. I really would make a malchah. I put an end to it. The problem is I don't know the specific people that do it. So what I was going to do is I was going to get up via Barabbim and give a drasha. Everyone, stop bribing the judges. But if I do that, I'm slandering the whole court system. Because I'm getting up there and telling everyone that everyone's busy bribing the judges. The judges in the court system are all corrupt. They'll give them a few rubles or marks. They'll throw the case. So therefore, I can't speak Barabbim because it'll be a slander. And B'yachid, whoever I speak to, I don't know who's doing it. But then he says, even though it's wrong, if you want to understand how could Jews do such a thing, he said like this. What's going on? A Jew has a fight with a guy. Now the Jew knows that he's right. The problem is he's going to court. The judge is a guy. Dr. Chavis Yair, there's a natural tendency, if you're a judge, and someone comes, a member, your brother, a member of the same religion, the same background, and then a foreigner, someone who believes in a different religion comes, and there's a fight. Zakhla Chavis Yair, there's a natural bias towards your fellow, your co-religionists, your countrymen. And therefore, Zakhla Chavis Yair, the reason why the Jews are putting the bribes are simply because they know they're right. But they're afraid there's a negius against them. So the bribe is not to win a case where they're wrong. The bribe is to level the playing field. And this way, when they give a bribe, so now on one hand, the other person's a co-religious. The Jew is the one who slipped him a couple of dollars. So now already it's a level playing field, and justice can be done. So Carl turns to him and says, okay, that's very nice when there's a Jew fighting a guy. So you're telling me that he's doing it just to level the playing field. What happens when two Jews come in? And they both bribe the judge. What's your excuse then? So he says, when two Jews come in, he said, Avada near them wants to give shaychad. What's the point? What happens? What happens is each one is convinced the other one already bribed the judge. And therefore, each one gives it only because he's afraid. If he doesn't give it, he doesn't stand a chance. But if he knew that the other person didn't give a bribe, why should he give a bribe? What's the point? So Chavis Yair writes that Carl Ludwig laughed. He said, Chazdeich milech, your words are good. And shari terutzim lo ninanalu, heim be'emes, heim b'sheker. It was a clever answer, but you and I both know the score, and go do something about it. Chavis Yair, after bringing down the story, says, but what's the halacha? What's the halacha? What's the halacha if you know that there's a bias against you, and you want to give a bribe to level the playing field? So the Chavis Yair, the Chasam Sofer, and the Shaul Meshev all say that at least when you're dealing with outside of a bez, and when you're dealing with the Goyish court system, they say there's no issue. The Chavis Yair actually makes a beautiful diak. He says, Leisikach Shaychad. You can't take Shaychad. What about giving Shaychad? Why doesn't it say, Leititain Shaychad? Zog the Chavis Yair, he says like this. To take Shaychad is always awesome. Because a dayan or a judge that takes Shaychad, he doesn't know who's right. He doesn't know whether it's being given to level the playing field or because the guy is dead wrong and he's just trying to rip off the other person. Taking Shaychad is always awesome. But giving Shaychad, Zog the Chavis Yair, depends. If you're giving it to win when you're wrong, he says that's awesome. If you're mesupik, you don't know the halacha, and you just want to make sure that the odds are stacked in your favor, that's also awesome. But if you know you're right and you're just giving it to stop the person from doing an avlo, the other chavis yair is mitzadet. Perhaps it's not awesome. Chasam Sofer takes it even further. He says adrab. In a way, if you think about it, you're saving the dayan from being over an iser. Because if you don't bribe him, if you know he's going to paskin the other way, because either he got a bribe or whatever his reason is, he's corrupt, he's going to be overly sat to mishpat. He's going to paskin wrong. By giving this bribe and just level the playing field, now he's going to paskin the right way, and it says, and therefore the Chasam Sofer concludes, there would be no iser. What? Right. So either way, it's like this. So either way, the way they're looking at it is the iser is taking shaychat because now you're bribed. Now your psak din or your verdict is biased. If any way you took a bribe from one party, so now when you take a bribe from a second party, you can go over more of an iser. What? Yeah. So the Berkei Yosef argues. Berkei Yosef says your point. He says it's true. He says like this: when you give the bribe, you're over an iser. You're saving him from Lisata Mishpat. So what gives you the right to be over the Isser of giving Sheikhad or Lifnei Iver on the Sheikhad to prevent him from a different Isser? Let him do the Isser of Lisata Mishpat. At least you didn't do anything wrong. And Berkei Yosef argues, although Berkei Yosef might be talking about it in Beis Din. It's not, yes. So that is clear in Halacha that even if both parties are aware of the bribes, it still is. Excellent. So that really leads us to the next point is that we all know when you go to a Beis Din, you pay the Dayanim. Now, what is the difference between paying Dayanim for a Din Torah or both parties bribing the Dayan the same amount in front of each other? What is the difference? And that, in Meretz Hashem, we'll discuss next week.